We would like to overlook the difficulty of daily repentance and death to our sins in the interest of progressing to a more advanced spirituality.
Rebecca Curtis from her new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Somehow, spiritual advancement always amounts to our getting to spend more time on the things we like and calling it stewardship or service.
You can purchase and download an audio version of Ladylike, Living Biblically at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Ladylike, Living Biblically by Rebecca Curtis and Rose Adel.
Let's go for a plane ride.
Wonder what Dougie's up to now.
Let's go! Hey.
I have a feeling a man named Gordon Cole will call here. If he does, read him this message. You're a fine man, Bushnell Mullins. I will not soon forget your kindness and decency.
What about the FBI?
I am the FBI.
That's a clip from the new TV series from Showtime, Twin Peaks, The Return. Now, there's a gap in my pop culture library. Twin Peaks. Never saw the original series, not because I didn't want to. In fact, there were many times I intended to watch that series. It was seemed to be kind of right up my alley, but that was about the time, there in 1990 or so, when we first started having kids, and so television viewing kind of fell off as a priority for a number of years, but it's returned with this new version, Twin Peaks The Return. We're going to be reviewing it with Pastor Ted Giese here in the first half hour of Issues, Etc. Greetings and welcome live on this Thursday afternoon, September the 7th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After reviewing the TV series Twin Peaks The Return with Pastor Ted Giese, Terry Mattingly will join us. We're going to talk about growing LGBT theological tensions among American evangelicals, both addressed and in some ways exacerbated by the recent, now notorious for some reason, even though it's completely uncontroversial in terms of its biblical content, Nashville statement that was issued late in August by many evangelical and Protestant leaders. Terry Mattingly will join us to talk about that. Then Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer for our series on Christ in the Old Testament will be in Psalm 32. First, joining us to review the TV series, Twin Peaks, The Return, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He is pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome.
Thanks, Todd.
Okay, so fill me, those who have forgotten and those who, like me, never saw Twin Peaks in its original 1990s version. What was it and what is it?
Yeah, what is Twin Peaks? There was a book called Lynch on Lynch, which is a biography of David Lynch, and in it, I think it was about Eraserhead. He was being asked about this incredibly dense movie. It was his first big movie from 1977. He was asked, "What is Eraserhead about?" And his answer, David Lynch's answer, was, "It's about 89 minutes long." So this is one of these things. Twin Peaks is, on the surface, it seems very simple, but then it gets more and more complicated as you get into it. In this third season of it, one character played by Kyle MacLachlan is asked by, or the one quick character asks him, Dale Cooper, what's going on? And he responds, it's difficult to explain. And it's kind of like that for Twin Peaks. So essentially, it's a TV show. It started on ABC back in the 1990s. It had two seasons. First season, very popular. Second season, not as popular. It kind of dropped off. And the result of that was, the reason why it dropped off in popularity is that it was a mystery. It's a murder mystery, and it's doing a bunch of things. It's like a commentary on just the American life, soap operas, police procedurals, all of these things. And of course, what the ABC studio executives did is they forced David Lynch and Mark Frost, the co-creator with David Lynch, to solve the mystery and tell everybody what happened. And it all centers on a murdered high school prom queen named Laura Palmer in this town of Twin Peaks in Washington State. And she has a squeaky clean public image, but then she also has a dark history. And this is kind of through the investigation, everybody's dirty laundry gets exposed in the town. And this is the kind of, it was a just a serialized week by week mystery, and people were engrossed in it. And then once the mystery was revealed, it suddenly was not as interesting anymore. And why are we here? What's going on? What's the point of all this? Started to be the question that people had in their minds. And of course, in a interview, David Lynch said that the ABC forcing him to say who killed Laura Palmer was like killing the goose that laid the golden eggs. You just want to keep the mystery rolling so you can keep having the show rolling. So that's what, you know, what kind of brought the season two to an end. And then, of course, David Lynch went in and did the last episode of the season two, and in that put a gigantic cliffhanger in where he compromised his hero, FBI agent Dale Cooper, who's in town to solve the mystery. And he also had the dead Laura Palmer in a kind of dreamlike alternate reality state say, I'll see you again in 25 years. So now here we are about 25 years later, and Twin Peaks is picking up the story. Some people have gone by 25 years. Other people have been stuck in alternate realities, and it has a kind of a supernatural angle to it as well.
So tell us a little bit about David Lynch as the director. I mean, you mentioned Eraserhead, just strange stuff. And I imagine Twin Peaks kind of siphons off some of that as well. How would you describe it?
Yeah, David Lynch is a very unconventional filmmaker. He doesn't fit into the general mold of filmmakers. He's kind of what you might refer to as an auteur. He's certainly a guy who is maybe more of an art house filmmaker. Occasionally he has things that come into the public consciousness, like Twin Peaks did. Eraserhead was his first movie. Then he made a movie called The Elephant Man, and many people know that movie and may have seen it. You know, that is it garnered like Oscar attention, and from there he went on to make a big sci-fi movie called Dune. And then when that kind of went sideways, he went to do like Blue Velvet, Wild at Heart, Mulholland Drive, Lost Highway, a bunch of movies like this. And he also did a movie called The Straight Story. And that was, you know, if you're looking for some David Lynch movie that doesn't have the weird supernatural kind of stuff in it or super strange dream world stuff, watch The Elephant Man or The Straight Story. Those are the two that are going to be best. And then in recent years, he made a movie called Inland Empire. And as you go through his career, the narrative storytelling gets more and more fragmented, more and more non-linear, and more self-referential, like he's building on his own film, visual, auditory language that he's kind of developing. He's really big into transcendental meditation.
Let's hear a little bit from David Lynch speaking to an audience about transcendental meditation.
And Maharishi Mahesh Yogi teaches a technique called transcendental meditation. It's a simple, easy, effortless technique, yet supremely profound, that allows any human being to dive within, experiencing subtler levels of mind and intellect, and transcend and experience this ocean of pure consciousness. This pure consciousness is called by modern physics the unified field. It's at the base of all mind and all matter. And they now say, modern science says, all of matter, everything that is a thing, emerges from this field. And this field has qualities like bliss, intelligence, creativity, universal love, energy, peace. And it's not the intellectual understanding of this field, but the experiencing of it that does everything. You dive within, and transcending, experiencing this field of pure consciousness, and you enliven it, you unfold it, it grows. And the final outcome of this growth of consciousness is called enlightenment. And enlightenment is the full potential of all of us human beings. And a side effect of enlivening this consciousness is negativity starts to recede.
Pastor Giese, do his views with respect to transcendental meditation, do they come through and impact this current season of Twin Peaks: The Return?
Oh, sure they do. In fact, the more that you know about that in connection with him as a filmmaker, the more clear some of his films and movies like, even the Fire Walk with Me prequel to the Twin Peaks TV show that came out in 1992, and then this whole season of Twin Peaks all starts to make more sense. So sometimes when we talk about filmmakers, like I'm thinking like of Ridley Scott, who made Exodus, Gods and Kings, and Alien Covenant, and all of these other kind of movies, Blade Runner. We'll say, or I will bemoan, you know, I wish that I could talk to him to find out what he really thinks about something. Like, what does he really think about God? What does he really think about religion? What does he really think about Christianity? What's really going on in his mind? And I wonder this about a guy like Ridley Scott, for instance, because maybe it's a biographical criticism, like he'll dedicate a movie to his brother who committed suicide. And then you wonder, well, why did he do that? And does that have an impact on the film? This is called biographical criticism. There's also another kind of criticism called author intent criticism. And that's where you're kind of looking at, what did the author intend? What was the original intent of the author in the presentation of the topic? And if you know what the religious convictions of somebody are, then you can kind of see how that might impact what you're looking at. And particularly from the clip we just heard from him talking in a Q&A about transcendental meditation, you can see that he is very well catechized in the transcendental meditation method. Like he's giving a very articulate, very decisive, clear description of what he believes transcendental meditation is. So this is not a guy who's, you know, I'm spiritual, not religious. He's very religious. His religion happens to be transcendental meditation, which comes out of Hinduism and kind of bridges along in with Buddhism a little bit. And of course, when you watch this show, there are little hints that things like Tibetan Buddhism are an influence on it, and certainly transcendental meditation. So in this season 3 of Twin Peaks, for instance, something from Tibetan Buddhism, tulpas, which are kind of like manifestations of somebody's mind to create like doppelgangers of themselves or physical manifestations of something, that is a part of the unfolding story of the season, and retcons things into the previous stuff that he'd made as well. So, and then the other main thing with the transcendental meditation when it comes to this is it's the way in which this meditation, deeply diving into this subconscious kind of quote unquote unified field, starts to become like a dreamlike thing. And this whole season has this kind of dreamlike quality. So if you are in a dream, the dream might have internal logical consistency, but when you wake up, you think to yourself, wow, that didn't actually all make sense. Or there's like, it didn't happen the way it would normally happen, or things meant things that other things that wouldn't normally mean the things that they meant. So you get this kind of like expanded dreamlike quality to the season, and it plays with time, and it plays with what things mean, like deep archetypal kind of, symbolism. But then again, he's also creating symbolism. And at one point, I heard another interview with him where he talked about the creative process where ideas, he describes them like this, that they're like little fish that swim up to you. And he says, you take the little fish that you like, and that one you keep, and then you start piecing together the whole story. And his collaborator, Mark Frost, I think is the guy who helps make it all more narratively make sense, so that you got a real story there. But I think that if you're watching this TV show, or if you've watched the TV show and at the end you think to yourself, I don't really know what to make of all this, you have to remember that the ideas that David Lynch had that he puts into the show would be ideas that he garnered through this act of transcendental meditation. So they're just ideas that came to him in that state that he has, quote unquote, put himself into.
Pastor Ted Gacy is our guest. We are previewing and reviewing the TV series Twin Peaks, The Return on this Thursday, September the 7th. When we come back, what is season 3 like? And if we dare ask, what is it about?
Religious liberty, Christians engaging the media, the for you of Christianity, Christian marriage, the sexual revolution, the Benedict option. These are some of the topics for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $120. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th. In Houston.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Law Assumed Sermon, the Gospel Afterthought Sermon, the God Loves You Anyway Sermon. I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled An Updated Listener's Guide to the Pulpit. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Matt Richard details his journey from folk Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
We don't know anything about this formerly blind and mute man.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
What we do know is what Jesus did for him. And what Jesus did for that man, he is doing now for you.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday afternoon, we are previewing the TV series Twin Peaks, The Return. Pastor Ted Gacy is our guest. So what is season 3 like? And as I said before, if I dare ask, what is it about?
Season 3 is pretty interesting stuff. It's very different kind of television. What he's doing, David Lynch and Mark Frost, what they're doing together is subverting a lot of things that people think about when it comes to television. Particularly, they will make the whole narrative slow down so it's not as fast. It gives people time to think about what they're looking at. It's 18 hours, so it's 18 episodes where it is picking up kind of that 25 years later. And it's doing a couple different things. One thing is that, you know, sorry, Todd, I'm going to spoil it a little bit for you here. The murderer of, maybe I'm not going to. All right, I'm not going to. But the murderer is certainly revealed back in season 2. But then there's another thing about the murderer. There's this supernatural element to it. And that starts to become more and more the focus of the story. And again, that was kind of a way of trying to re-mythologize it or to reignite the mystery of what's going on. Here, it seems like, again, that is like a giant focus of the story, is to re-inject mystery into the whole thing. And of course, now it's 25 years later. So some of the actors who are in the previous couple seasons, they are deceased. One actor is David Bowie, the singer David Bowie. He had shown up in the movie Fire Walk With Me, and his character of Philip Jeffries then becomes kind of important to this season. So what you have is a number of things going on. Dale Cooper, it's about his return to Twin Peaks, and it's also then about Laura Palmer's return to Twin Peaks. It's about David Lynch and Mark Frost and the audience's return to Twin Peaks. But really, it's also a subversion of, or a meditation on, or a consideration of the question, can you go home again? And the answer to that question is always not in the way you think you can, or not if you have an idealized idea, it's not going to be like that when you get back there again. And you get this in season three in spades. And also you have a lot of duplication of things like Kyle MacLachlan plays about five different versions of himself, like as this Dale Cooper character. He's a villain version, a heroic version, a Mr. Magoo kind of version. There's just a bunch of different shades of him. He's just doing an amazing job in terms of his acting. And then overall, there's this real kind of investigation of suffering and aging and grief and loss. So, and the way that David Lynch kind of accomplishes this is he kind of uses a technique of brimstone and treacle. So there are parts of it that are just really horrifying and difficult to watch and ugly. That's the brimstone side of it. And then there's also this sappy kind of over the top melodramatic part that would be like the treacle part. It's just sugary and syrupy. And he'll like switch on a dime between back and forth between these things. And he does it to disorient and to juxtapose and cause you to think about what you're looking at as well. So in a way, for people who are a fan of his, it probably is going to look like a bit of a magnum opus for him.
I wonder about the audience for this. I'll just use the example of me and my wife. This is the kind of television or film that I eat up. I like it when directors try and do something different. I like it when they are where the audience knows they're trying to do something different. The kind of the multiple layers, all this meta narrative going on. Love it. My wife can't stand it. She wants straightforward stories.
She do wants, not watch this with your wife.
Well, right, and she to her it is pretentious and it holds no interest whatsoever. So who is
your wife and my wife should go watch a movie together?
Hallmark Hall of Fame movies.
Right. No.
Right. But who's the audience for this? We know who the audience was for Twin Peaks and how influential it was for other film and television makers. We wouldn't have Walking Dead without it.
Right.
People who are willing to break the mold and kill off main characters and things like that.
Right.
So who's the audience?
Well, you have a bunch of different kinds of audiences. One audience, obviously, would be the people who are actually involved in the film industry. Like, they are interested in this. Anybody, you know, in the fine arts, oftentimes they're going to be interested in this. People involved in design, stuff like that. They, you know, the people who would generally enjoy art house kind of stuff are going to like this more likely. There is a whole new generation of people who were not around for the original show in its running, who are kind of discovering all of this and going back and watching and rewatching the previous stuff and like kind of putting it all together, and they're enjoying it. They're kind of nerding out on just like the whole style of how it's presented. And there's kind of an authenticity to David Lynch as a filmmaker. And of course that's going to, you know, be appealing to, you know, your kind of hipster crowd, I guess, too, in that kind of way. So I think that it's a narrow audience. I mean, there's a lot of people who are going to watch it, and there's going to be like these moments where they are going to go, and now I'm checking out, I'm done. You know, maybe something is too brimstone, or maybe it's too treacle, like it's too sweet and sappy, or it seems on the surface dumb, or they actually feel like they're being trolled, to use an internet term, and they actually might be being trolled. Like David Lynch and Mark Frost are literally trying to get under your skin or to subvert your expectation of certain things. They're going to zig when you're expecting them to zag. But then they also do provide like these moments where, you know, there's a satisfying moments of punctuation and conclusion that are very satisfying for viewers. So I would say the general viewer is not going to find this palatable. They're not going to be able to make it through.
Is there anything positive for the Christian viewer in the latest Twin Peaks?
there's a couple things. One thing would be that evil in the end doesn't seem to get what it wants. I mean, it's the evil characters and the evil in the show, they do cause a lot of pain and suffering. They live on that. They feed on that. But ultimately, they're thwarted. So there's lots of criminals of different varieties, and they don't get their kind of Hans Gruber kind of falling off the side of the building, Die Hard style, kind of big dramatic ending. They usually just go out like chumps. They're all subverted over and over and over again. So in a way, this is something that we see in scripture, that evil may seem like it's winning the battle, but it's certainly lost the war at the cross. So that is something that I think Christians could walk away with and go, okay, I can see how that's playing out in this. Evil is taken very seriously. There's no trying to explain it away or to make it seem more palatable. It's certainly considered to be that kind of ugly underbelly and full of sin kind of horrible thing. And that's presented it's good to see that in movies. In TV shows. It's not explaining it away.
With only a minute here, pastoral concerns.
This is a very difficult topic matter. There's a lot of ugly stuff in it. So there's like misogynistic, violent stuff at times, and that's part of that brimstone thing that I was talking about. Very disorienting, unsettling at times. And then, of course, it's very important to keep in mind that David Lynch is a transcendental meditation guy, and then also this Mark Frost guy, he's a conspiracy theorist type. So that's something to keep in mind when you're watching it. Also, if you're watching it, which maybe you won't be, the last thing is that it presents a cosmology, a mythological kind of world that is not Christian. Like this is not Christian. You know, all the talk about the way evil is presented aside, you know, this has way more in common with Hinduism, Tibetan Buddhism, and clearly also transcendental meditation.
Pastor Ted Gacy has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. You can meet Pastor Gacy at the Fall 2017 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. It's the premier conference for Christian laity. Registration is $120. It includes three meals. Child care is free, thanks to the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education. You can learn more and you can register by calling 618-223-8385 or at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Ted, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to being there in Houston.
On the other side of the break, Terry Mattingly is going to join us. We're going to talk about growing LGBT theological tensions among American evangelicals as both triggered by and signaled by the Nashville statement. Stay tuned.
The first L in classical education is for liberal arts. Whereas the Romantic era of Rousseau sought to focus the child inward, and the Progressive era sought to focus on social engineering with the teacher as mere facilitator, a classical education gives every student knowledge and proficiency through the liberal arts, the language arts of grammar, dialectic, and rhetoric, along with the mathematical arts, to equip students for service to others in any vocation. In Christian classical education, we herald Christ our Savior, not the child and not the social state, properly and needfully turning our children's eyes toward Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. To connect with others who share this vision, visit our CCLE Facebook page, the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education, CCLE, on Facebook.
Risen Savior Lutheran Church, Basser, Kansas. Located just right outside the northwest corner of the Metro Kansas City area, we have a growing congregation of people who come from over 13 different communities to see what God is doing here who desire to only believe, teach, confess, and practice as the church always has. Risen Savior, Baser, Kansas. Check out our website, risensaviorlcms.org.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.